radio show that can honestly tell you what Bill Parcells look like naked. Here's Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, back at it. Big week. Ohio State nearly a 10-point favorite over Michigan. And we welcome in our friend, the recruiting analyst and scout for college football, sideline analyst at ESPN. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. He's Tom Luganville. Tom, welcome back.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. That might be the greatest in bump I've ever heard to any radio show of all time.
Nice.
Beautiful. Yeah, it gets you a little jacked up, doesn't it?
The only show that can show you what Bill Parcells looks like. Oh, that's great.
You like it. Yes, that's right. Well, and we're not lying either, which is, I don't know if that's sad or, you know, we're not making that up either, which is unfortunate. So when you stand, I'll start this with more of a comical one, as long as we're going in that direction. When you stand in front of Ed Orgeron and you interview him after a game, it must be the most surreal type thing, hearing that voice face to face and trying to follow up on those answers. It's unbelievable. He's a character.
He totally is. And all I know is I don't have to listen to what he says. I just got to have my two questions ready, because if I start trying to take time to decipher what he said, I'm going to screw up getting to my second question. So I just throw it out there, let him go. And it's so funny, because if you really watch him, he won't look at you. He won't look at you. He won't look at the camera. He stares off into space. And it's like he's on this one track where he's really not saying anything, but he's talking a whole lot. And then it ends with, go Tigers.
It's amazing. It is. It's absolutely tremendous. When you watch, now that you say that, Tom, I'm like going back and running through his interviews in my mind. And yes, he's literally, looks like he's looking into the stands or up in someone in the crowd.
Yeah.
That's, which is very unique, you know, when you're trying to do a sideline. Usually they make eye contact and kind of lean in. He's like pulling away and giving a monologue.
No doubt.
So let me ask you this, Tom. You've been obviously covering college football for a long time. You've seen a lot of teams. This LSU team, really, really good. Offensively, they look completely different than they ever have before. Defensively, they look a lot different as well. I mean, what is your opinion about this LSU Tigers defense and how good they actually are?
So I think they're competent and probably good enough, but we can't use the terms great or outstanding or terrific. They haven't put together four quarters. They've put together halves where they've looked really, really good, but they have not been able to sustain any type of consistency. I think there's three significant reasons why. Number one, unlike some of the teams we've seen in the last 15, 20 years from LSU, they are not a dominant team in their defensive front four. They're an interior-led defensive tackle plug-up front team that doesn't have a lot of depth or a lot of difference makers outside of Lekavon Chaisson that come off the edge. That's number one. Number two, they're really lacking that eraser at linebacker, the guy that can just mask mistakes. He's all over the field. He can overcompensate for maybe missed run fits. Not only without Devin White, but they also don't have Michael DeFinity. So I think that's kind of stood out. And then lastly, in their defensive back end, Grant Delpit, who did not play this last week, has been nursing an ankle injury all year long. I think coming into the season, you can make an argument he was the best safety in college football. He's barely even been a shell of himself. And talking to Dave Aranda last week, I think he's frustrated because they feel like they've got good athletes, but they haven't executed and been overly productive in terms of sustained consistency. Now, they've been fortunate because of the offense that they really, truly, outside of the Auburn game, haven't been overly tested. But at some point or another, that's going to come. For my money, if they were to lose the number one spot and Clemson were to remain at the three spot, that is not a good draw in the semifinals for LSU.
You know, and it's funny, Tom, because you bring that up. You know, obviously the defensive line is good. You know, Devin White isn't there, a linebacker. Delpit's been a little nicked up. But, you know, I've talked a lot to Ryan Clark when we're up at ESPN, you know, during the weekends. Yeah. And, you know, you look at Fulton, you look at Sting, like those are two of the best corners in the country. And I try to figure out how teams have been able to pass the ball on them with both of those guys out there. So you're telling me it's more of maybe an execution thing than maybe potentially the players?
It is. Now, in the way they're going to do it, they're going to lock those two corners down on the edge. They're going to be man-to-man, and they've been really good. You haven't seen a lot of plays on the outside. It's all been number-to-number, hash-to-hash stuff, and they've struggled to match up with safety matchups. They've been injured, like I said. Kerry Vincent has played as their nickel, and they just, whether it's alignment, whether it's run fit, I mean, you go back to the second half versus Ole Miss, and what Rich Rod and that little quarterback did to them, I mean, it was downright embarrassing. They gave up 400 yards on the ground to Ole Miss, over 600 yards of total offense. And a lot of it was not being out-athleted. It was not being where you're supposed to be. And that was really frustrating for Dave Aranda.
Tom Luginbill with us from ESPN. Let's attack our game a little bit here. Is there anything outside of praying for turnovers to get a recipe like Penn State had this weekend so they get a puncher's chance? Is there anything that you like what Michigan does better than Ohio State? Is there anything?
I probably wouldn't say there's something that stands out to me, but what I do feel strongly about in having broadcasted a Michigan game, their game actually against Illinois several weeks back, is if you told me that Ohio State was playing the Michigan team of 6 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, I would look at this as a potential blowout. The difference between that team of Michigan and the Michigan team now is all of a sudden they stopped turning the ball over. And now all of a sudden they're making plays in the passing game. They're maintaining possession of the ball. The defense is on the field as much. And in something that they have not done under Jim Harbaugh is they're actually peaking at the right time. They're playing their best football in the month of November. And that's not something we've seen from Michigan. I think this is going to be a really, really good football game. You know, I mentioned the turnovers. That's the one thing where I believe that Ohio State's going to have an advantage. I think that Shea Patterson in his history is far more prone to turn over the ball, whether it's through the air or whether it's navigating the pocket and having a strip fumble. He's far more prone to turn over the ball at the quarterback position, in my opinion, than Justin Fields is.
All right, Tom, about a good couple minutes left here. You know, obviously Chase Young and this Ohio State defensive line, really good, him in particular.
Yeah.
One of the strengths of Michigan coming in was supposed to be this offensive line. You know, they've kind of underperformed at times this season. They've had some injuries. You know, do you think they're playing their best football and they'll be able to potentially slow him down this week?
I think they are adequate to competent. I would agree with you. I don't think that they are a great group, and you're right. They've been banged up a little bit. I think one of the other issues, too, is, and it hasn't helped the offensive line. It's probably hurt the offensive line a little bit, and that is that their stable of running backs are not dynamic, make-you-miss, create-on-your-own type guys. So things aren't perfect. They don't have that guy that can just pull a rabbit out of a hat. You know, Charbonnet and their stable of backs are more upright, downhill, square to the line of scrimmage guys, maybe one cut type players. And that doesn't help you in the run game, in my opinion, when you're maybe not as consistent as you'd like to be in the offensive line. And I think that's one of the issues with this, you know, Michigan offense running the football. They've struggled all year long to be as good as they'd like to be, but I think it's because maybe they don't have that. They don't have a J.K. Dobbins, if you will. They don't have a Jonathan Taylor, that type of player, in my opinion, at the running back position.
No, it's going to be a big deal. That's a very good point, that they don't have the game-breaking guy. And a lot of this, as you say, is going to be on Shea Patterson's shoulders. Second year at Michigan, had the couple years at Ole Miss, 500 guy against ranked teams. He's having a better year, but you're right. This is the time. Tom, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate you weighing in, and we'll talk to you real soon.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great Thanksgiving.